Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Headlines, where we give you a more in-depth look at some of the stories being run on our radio stations across the UK. Today, we're talking about taking the tip off knives. We're also talking about screen time and the impact that's having. And just in case you're off to Brum anytime soon, we'll tell you what 10 things you need to do in the second city. My name is Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host on Monday, the 12th of May, 2025, as we go behind the headlines. First, let's start with an exclusive. We've been talking to Kent Police about their new tactics in a major crackdown on knife crime. The force is the first in the country to let vulnerable families and those who've suffered the devastating consequences of stabbings exchange their pointed kitchen knives for rounded ones. Our reporter Josh Bailey has more on this.
That's yours.
Brilliant, thank you.
And then we'll pop yours in here and we'll take them away for you.
Yeah, that's great. Just get that locked away.
For the past year, foster parents Chris and Justine Hind have been living with rounded knives after they were approached by Kent Police. And it's a decision which they say has had a huge impact on their life without really changing anything at all.
We have worked with some young people in the past that have committed knife crime, and sometimes they have had knives in the community, but we thought actually that'd be a preventative measure in our home to have those knives, and it means that we can use those knives safely within the home.
I suppose there has been situations where, you know, you have young people who are perhaps going through something at that moment, and, you know, do tend to have a look around to make sure there was nothing left on the side that they could use. And I suppose it does take that fear factor away a little bit if you have got something there that, you know, you've forgotten about or whatever left there.
Where a traditional kitchen knife has a point at the end, a rounded one doesn't. Instead, its end is curved and flat, which is why Kent Police are running this scheme, as the coordinator of the Violence Reduction Unit, Kayleigh Warden, explains.
We have taken 344 knives out of domestic households. That's a huge number of knives to not, you know, cause harm or be available for anyone to cause harm.
Why are you doing this? What gives you the confidence that this scheme is reducing knife crime?
Research has proven it doesn't even penetrate cotton, let alone skin. But these knives are also less attractive for teenagers potentially to take them out of that house because they don't look threatening.
Since the Safer Knife Replacement Scheme started last year, Kent has seen knife crime drop by 17%. And now more forces across the country are thinking about doing the same.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Still to come, we take a look at the immigration reforms that have been announced today, and we were on the finish line for the first Rob Burrows marathon since the rugby legend's death. But first, there have been emotional scenes at the funeral of Rochdale footballer Joe Thompson. The 36-year-old died last month after being diagnosed with cancer for a third time in April last year. Our senior reporter Olivia Davis was outside the church in Worsley for us.
The sun shone through the trees here as the coffin was carried into the church, decorated with white and blue flowers. A pre-recorded message from Joe himself played out from screens outside.
What a day. I knew the turnout would be special. This is what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, to ascend as a legend, you often have to leave sooner than most would like. But God has me now in his palms. I understand the tears, but I want you to know, life is eternal, and I'll be waiting for you all in the next one. Excited to make many more incredible experiences. Today is not a day of loss. It's a day to celebrate life. It's a day to give glory to God. And ultimately, it's a day to remind ourselves of all the incredible moments we have shared.
Hundreds of strangers and loved ones shed a tear and shared smiles as they remembered the former footballer.
To feel the energy in the air, just what an inspirational, upbeat, positive person. I think, everyone's been moved today and will take his words going forward.
It was always very poetic, but there was always a meaning that it translated to something different to everybody, and that's him. That's him entirely. The testament to him is how many people are here. If I was to see that, and I think, do you know what, whatever I've come here to do, I've obviously done it, and I've made that impact.
Just this turnout today has just been unbelievable, and you can just see how much love that he gave to everyone, and everyone wants to repay it back. It was always a breath of fresh air, literally. He used to take me to the train station, he used to have a good laugh. Everything about him, just wonderful man.
Everyone here dressed in bright colours to pay their final respects to the loving dad and husband.
Sir Keir Starmer's announced an overhaul of the legal immigration system. The Prime Minister has been criticised by some campaign groups who described his plans to bring down migrant numbers as fanning the fire of the far right. Our political editor, Georgie Pajomu, can tell us more about this.
It'll mean stopping recruitment of overseas care workers, stronger English language requirements and time to get settled status, doubling from 5 to 10 years.
In a diverse nation like ours, and I celebrate that, these rules become even more important. Without them, we risk becoming an island of strangers. Not a nation that walks forward together.
But Tory Matt Vickers says we should be going further.
If you look at all the cases and where they get stuck, it's as a result of the Human Rights Act. Well, you can disapply specifically in those cases to do with immigration.
The Prime Minister's promised numbers can come down significantly by the end of this Parliament, but he's not been specific so far.
And organisers are counting up how much has been raised at this year's Rob Burrow Marathon. His widow, Lindsay Burrow, and teammate and friend Kevin Sinfield joined thousands running in Leeds yesterday. Our senior reporter, Katie Lyons, was with them.
From Otley Road in Headingley to the crowd back in the stadium, it's just been incredible. So many people remarked to me about how special the support was, which helped push them through, especially in this heat. It was a lovely moment when Lindsay crossed the finish line. She was cheered on by her three young children who presented her with the medal.
I think that's what kept me going in those tough times, you know, knowing that the children were going to be at the finish line. I was hoping to see them at Otley, but I think they might have got stuck on the bus. So it was great to cross the finish line and have them waiting for me.
Well, Rob's mum was among those at the finish line watching everyone cross. Irene said he'd have loved to have seen this.
I'm proud and I'm always thinking about Rob every second of every day, but I know he'll be cheering everybody on.
The city came together to raise money for good causes, many doing so for M&D charities, as it was the condition Rob had for 5 years before he sadly died last year.
As Mental Health Awareness Week kicks off, nearly 9 in 10 young people are telling us social media makes them feel anxious. This week, we're starting a massive conversation about the amount of time we're spending online and the impact it's having on all of our lives. Senior correspondent Mick Coyle can give us the lowdown.
OK, let's admit it. We've probably all caught ourselves at one time or another scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through social media. On average, we spend around 2 hours a day looking at it. But have you ever wondered what that endless search for content is doing to us?
It's like if you're swimming in the sea and you go too far out. You think the waves are going to push you back in, but the waves just keep taking you out further and further. You think that you can control the social media. You think that you can control what you see, but you really can't.
Stats from the Where's Your Head At campaign have found 9 in 10 of us are concerned by the impact of social media on our lives. And it's even higher for young people.
Social media and the internet are like Pandora's box. It's very difficult to put everything back in.
Paddy is 20. He's joining a new national conversation on the issue. Almost 9 in 10 young people admit their social media makes them feel anxious, but they stay with it anyway. Paddy's been telling me he's found himself comparing his life to others on his own social media feeds.
You see people on social media, it's always like living their best lives and nobody shares any of the negative, and it kind of fuels my own insecurities.
Now, it's right to say that people, especially young people, enjoy a lot of aspects of websites like Instagram, WhatsApp and TikTok, connecting with friends and discovering new things. And we're doing it at a younger and younger age. 96% of 13 to 16-year-olds are now on social media. But what happens when scrolling goes on? And on, and on.
A lot of young people told us that they really do get that FOMO, that fear of missing out. And they're starting to exhibit, those early signs of addictive behaviours, where they want to get off their phones, where they want to get back and engage with the real world, but they feel trapped.
Ollie is from the mental health charity Young Minds. He's been telling me it's crucial we start this conversation now.
Some children spending like 3-4 hours a day on their phones. Where is that time for face-to-face socialising? Where is that time with family? Young people recognise this as a growing issue. And what they actually want is help navigating that world.
And it's a conversation people are looking to join too. More than half of young people have told us they'd feel safer online if they had more support around their social media use.
So what we have to do as a society is come together and say, okay, there's this new thing. We know it's force for good. We know there are harms involved. How are we going to manage this together as a society?
So next time you catch yourself scrolling, ask yourself, where's your head at when it comes to mobile phone use? And join the conversation and check out the resources on wheresyourheadat.org.
To Northern Ireland now, where there has been a growing number of incidents involving horse riders on the roads. The PSNI is working with the British Horse Society to promote Operation Gallop to raise awareness. Our reporter Hannah Patterson can tell us more.
With a rise in the number of cars on our roads, Operation Gallop is promoting respecting all road users. Drivers are being advised to give horses at least 2 metres of clearance when approaching them. Craig Hills from the British Horse Society says it's not just for the safety of riders, but for other road users and pedestrians too.
They're flight animals. Their natural instinct is if something happens, they run. And so if you come off on the road, they would run and they could end up injuring a walker, someone in the car. Anything could happen, really.
PSNI Superintendent Joanne Gibson advises drivers to go no more than 10 miles per hour when approaching riders, or there could be devastating consequences.
Because obviously a horse weighs anywhere upwards of half a ton. So, you know, if you have a half ton animal coming into conflict with a moving vehicle, it can have devastating consequences.
Speeding cars, engines being revved and loud music can all easily startle horses.
Now, a new alternative itinerary of the UK's second city has been launched, inspired by Brummie comedian Joe Lycett's new show, United States of Birmingham. The checklist, which can be downloaded from the city's tourism website, features 10 must-do things in Birmingham. Alice Smith is our reporter in the city.
From eating a Cadbury's Curly Whirly by the bull at the Bullring to enjoying a cob by the canal, the alternative itinerary takes in some of Brum's best-loved landmarks with a twist. Alex Nicholson-Evans is a city curator here and says the list has something for everyone.
Whether you're a foodie, whether you're a creative, whether you're a museum lover, whether you like shopping, whether you're a music fan, yeah, there's something that's going to spark your interest.
It's all thanks to Joe Lycett's new show, which sees the comedian visit every Birmingham in the US, getting each one to pledge allegiance to the United States of Birmingham. Here's Alex Nicholson-Evans again on what she thinks might surprise people most about the second city.
Perhaps listening to the United States of Birmingham playlist on our Black Sabbath Bridge and reflecting on the volume and breadth of musical talent that has come out of this city might surprise people.
Anyway, that's all from me. I'm off to the Birmingham Museum and Art Gallery to pledge my allegiance to the United States of Birmingham.
And TV's biggest stars were in London for the BAFTA TV Awards last night. Our entertainment reporter Nilla Varman was there too and sent us this report.
It was a huge evening at the BAFTA TV Awards. Baby Reindeer and Mr. Bates versus the Post Office were some of the big winners of the evening, including Jessica Gunning taking home an award for Best Supporting Actress.
Hello, Cheeky Chops. Thank you very much. Did we know that one day we would be at the BAFTAs together?
Danny Dyer also won for his performance in Mr. Big Stuff.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Shout out Mr. Big Stuff.
And Ruth Jones won for her performance in Gavin and Stacey.
The person I would like to thank the most, James Corden.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.